Luke 9. We finished. Let's go. There's one scripture we didn't study in Luke 9:24. Well, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same. She'll save it. And we're looking at this word sake, henika. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. Chapter 7. This is Paul. He's kind of apologizing, but it's not really. Anyway, this is, he writes, for though I made, in verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for all season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive, damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this same selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all these things you have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause, or sake that had done the wrong, nor for his cause or sake that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. So the again, it was he's it's it, it, the word sake or henika is also translated as cause, and what we're trying to get to here is the meaning of lose your life for his sake. That It means replacement. It means now he is your life. Amen? All right, now 9:25. Go back to Luke 9. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall a son of man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, that in his father's and in his father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, advantage is ophelio, O-P-H-E-L-E-O, and it's translated to be useful or to be profitable or doing for the right reason, all those kinds of things. And he's saying, what advantage if you gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? So let's look at the word advantage just a few places. Let's go to Romans 2 and see how it's used there. Most of the time it's used in the scripture, it's the negative of it, of no advantage. So this one is important. Romans 2, we're going to spend some time in this one. We're going to start in verse 17. I want to start the predicate of this is that I want you to see that there's really no difference between Jews and Christians, because both are waiting for something to happen. Both are waiting for Messiah to come on, establish his kingdom on earth. Remember, can you understand that?
Now, all labels do that. Jew, Christian, Buddhist, whatever, is like waiting for something to take place on earth.
I don't know about Buddhists. But Islam is.
Yeah, everybody's waiting if they do this.
I think that the monotheistic religions are waiting.
Yeah.
Islam is waiting for, or some sects at least, are waiting for the Mahdi to appear out of his cave.
Yeah.
But he can't appear until Israel is destroyed. So. But anyway, this is saying to a Jew, but I want you to see it's to all of us. In verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking of the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. And so the same is true for all of us. And this is a mortal attack at hypocrisy. And it hits every one of us if we have any integrity. So now what he says. The word that we're studying is advantage, and it's translated in verse 25 as profiteth. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. And then he defines who a true Jew is. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So this is the definition of a Jew, and that's why, from the standpoint of God, there's no difference between Christians and Jews. It's all dependent on what goes on within the heart, within the inner man. And if your religion is just like every other Gentile's in your inner man, you still do the same things, then you might say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, but you do. So the whole thing is that if you might as well be saying here, if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, it'll profit you nothing. Because that outward expression has no meaning from God's standpoint. It's what have you accepted and what are you living in the eternal internal man. With the heart thou sayest, although with the mouth you sayest you love God. With the heart you're far from Him. So everything points back to always a state of repentance. Okay?
You go even another step and say, if you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, save your life, you'll lose it.
Right. The same is true if you pick up the cross to save your life, you lose it. All right.
That's interesting because the word J-W has such ingrained meaning. It's a bunch of people that have gone through this thing and live over in Israel. It's like that word means that, but then this says it doesn't mean that.
Right.
It means so much different than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing has changed. God didn't all of a sudden decide he wants his people, he wants to be true Jews. And that's one whose heart is circumcised and no longer needs the praise of men. Well, that's a big test. All right. So you see that the point of it is circumcision profiteth nothing unless you keep the whole law. If you keep the whole law, then circumcision profiteth. If you accept Jesus as your personal Savior and keep the whole law, then it's good. But if you don't, then it means nothing. So the point of it is, all lead back to your death. Only his life is salvation. But it's not saving you. He is salvation. You got it? That means you die. There can't be two of you. Now you're doing it, Gary.
I've always marveled at that little mystery right there. Cause once again, it's like, who are you talking to? And we've had this conversation, but it's just always there.
Well, I'm talking, hopefully, to those who know that they should be of one, not two. And then, if there's still two, then that's the exhortation to repentance.
And the one who needs that exhortation will hear it and
hopefully
repent.
Well, the one who and accept his death, that's really what repentance is.
Right. And the one who doesn't.
Doesn't matter.
Hears and rejoices in that.
All right. Let's look at a couple in John. Chapter 6. Again, we're talking about the word advantage, ophelio. Jesus had just gone through this whole thing and about saying, if unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, there's no life in you. And then verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. In other words, the flesh has no advantage. It's an ophelio again. There's nothing about the flesh that is to be tested. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Okay?
So the flesh is not being tested. But what is? The Spirit?
The only thing that's going on is that you would be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So instead of the mind working all these tricks, the mind is emptied. That's the only thing that's going on. And the only way that can happen is by repentance. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal. That means judge for himself good and evil. But made himself of no reputation. Those five words, one word, kino, emptied to the point of vacuum. So there was never any, his connection to the Father was constant because he, as Son of Man, totally emptied himself. That's the same that has to happen here. The whole thing that's going on, the only thing that's going on, is that you would be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So there's no more leaning on your own arm of understanding or trying to figure things out. It's faith that comes only by your emptying, not by your learning. There's no two to talk to anymore. You're gone. You've stopped the evil one from resurrecting himself from the deadly head wound. Amen?
So who are you preaching to? Isn't that a good question?
No. Go to Romans 12.
If you're gone.
Go to Romans 12.
And you're talking to the dead man.
If you're gone, then praise God. But if you're not gone, then repentance must take place instantaneously and forever.
So it's the mind, I guess. I mean, we said the flesh is not an issue. So it's the preaching is to the evil one. Who wants to resurrect himself, who wants life, who wants to twist the scripture.
And he keeps on trying. It never stops. Until you just totally ignore them. You can't pay attention to a little bit of them over here. You have to totally ignore this beast.
You deny it.
That's what he says. But deny this aporneomite means to totally disown, discount. But what do? Then I'm discounting it. And then I'm abandoning. I'm denying. And then 5 minutes later, you go use it. No. You empty always, no matter what position you're in. But looks at Romans 12. That's what we're going. Again, we have to start a little bit higher in Romans 11, verse 33.
Romans 12, 33?
Romans 11, 33. That's another story. There's no chapter of verses in the original writing. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Now, that's what you do when you sit and consider these things, which are true, and I hope you've considered it, and you know the emptiness of your mind and the futility of it. So the emptiness becomes, or repentance becomes natural. It's as natural as breathing. And the idea that you would lean on your own arm of understanding to solve some issue is just foreign. So, who hath known the mind of God, or the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? This meant if only the preachers would hear that one. Who has first given to him, and it'll give him, and he's going to get something back from it. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, I beg of you on my knees. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, present is to say, I am yours without condition. I am yours now without my own thought process getting in the way. I am yours. Do with me as you will. And what he wills is that let's look and see what he wills. your body's a living sacrifice, holy. That makes you holy because you're sanctified by who you're holy because of He is holy who you contain. You're acceptable unto God. That's again, it's the highest that reason can take you. Which is your reasonable surface. And be not conformed to this world in any way, but be ye transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God is Jesus Christ. And everything has to come back to that, that He, you're going through life and you're finding that you know, that you know, that you know that Jesus Christ is your only self. There's no more shadows of turning. There's no more secret agendas. And it's been tested. That's all that's going on. That's the reason for time and space. Amen? You're doing it again, Gary.
Taking it in.
Does that...
This is the nut of it all for me.
I know.
Where you not just say amen, but you automatically say amen because of the understanding that is so profound, you can't say anything but amen.
But the predicate of it is the certainty and the knowledge of the emptiness and futility of everything else. Otherwise, the moment you think God has forsaken you, and you will think it the minute that you have a need, then you think God has forsaken you. And so you return back to the familiar, and you worship, you put on the Babylonian garment, and go back to cause and effect, to solve issues, to make a living, to do whatever you do, to raise children. Instead of emptying and everything, you got a good excuse. Well, I got to do this, or I got to do that.
Or this is what God would want me to do.
Oh, yeah.
There's a thousand ways to...
Well, it's all conning.
Yeah.
But the sad part is you're conning yourself. Again, you're trying to make yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. And that's what we'll study intently at Pentecost. So let's go back. The word that we're studying is advantage. Let's go to John 12. This is on the day just before his 4 days, on the 10th of Nisan, 4 days before Passover, Jesus enters Jerusalem. On the next day, much people, John 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, they then remembered they had these things, that these things were written of him. And that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. And this is where we are about this idea of advantage. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive you how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him." And it's and what prevail, it's the same word for or the advantage, or in that he's saying, what all the stuff that you have done to try to stop this man hasn't worked. So look, the whole world is falling after. There's been no, everything you've done has had no advantage to the purpose. The whole world is going after it. So again, the word advantage. And we're out of time. We've got some more to study in advantage. It's so simple. There's nothing complicated. The only question is, do you have the courage to wait on him? Have you seen everything else is just meaningless? So wait on him in the smallest details, so that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your only self. Amen? Take it, big guy. All right.